Victoria Brem's office is a small cinder block room, not much bigger than a cubicle. There's little space for plaques and awards, so she's had to be selective. Hanging on the wall is her prized PhD degree, along with something a little more curious, a Merchant Marine diploma.
When I started out working in maritime literature, I knew that it was all going to be guys. And I'd been in situations like that before where I'm the only woman in the group and you're going to get tested. They're going to make you pay your dues. So I just decided I would get a Merchant Marine license.
Her degree allows her to take paying customers out on a boat. But Brem's plan was never to be a ship's captain. Instead, she wanted to study maritime history and felt she needed something to prove herself in this man's world. And for the past 20 years, that's what she's done. Brem studied the history of the Great Lakes through the writings of those who've known them best, the people who have worked on the waters. And as she traveled throughout the region doing research, an interesting story emerged, the history of women on the Great Lakes. Whether they were lighthouse keepers, cooks on ships, or just travelers, the women shared a common bond.
They loved the lakes, and they loved the lakes, and still do, because it keeps them from having to be domestic. They looked at being out on the water as great freedom. And when women write about the Great Lakes, it is with great good cheer and enthusiasm. And they describe journeys which we today would barely survive as great fun.
Traveling to historical societies in places like Chicago and Toronto, to small community libraries, to the National Archives in Washington, Brem drew together all the stories in her new book, The Women's Great Lakes Reader. The book traces the region's history through diary entries, letters, fiction, and poetry. And Brem says it gives a very different view of the world from what men have written.
As men, I think you're far more restricted in what you can write, particularly ship's captains. Their autobiographies are literally fit into a pattern. They only make mistakes before they become captains, and after they become captains, they never, ever make mistakes. They're not allowed to. Women were so much luckier than men in this regard, since nobody cared whether they wrote or not. They could write whatever they liked. And they did.
The book isn't intended to be a feminist history, but many of the women in it were breaking boundaries, whether by working on ships or traveling alone on the dangerous frontier.
Simply doing what life offered them. And I don't think they thought about gender roles too much, except that they wanted to be free of them. And the lakes offered them that opportunity in many cases.
The oldest story in the Women's Great Lakes Reader was written in 1790, and the most recent from just a couple years ago. They're travel stories and life stories and love stories written by and about women. And there are a few surprises, like the story of the Buffalo Whore. Women of the 19th century were very restricted when it came to how they could earn money. And Brem says often prostitution was their only option.
And Buffalo, of course, was a wide open port because it was sort of the crossroads between saltwater and fresh. And so you had sailors from all over the world.
But the Women's Great Lakes Reader is more than a collection of stories. Through her research, Brem's recovered parts of Great Lakes history that haven't been told before, like the plight of women lighthouse keepers.
During the Civil War and shortly thereafter, one out of every five keepers or assistant keepers on the Great Lakes was a woman. And then the numbers simply began to drop precipitously, till by the turn of the century, there were only one or two women left.
So she went on a search to find out what happened. Brem discovered that when the government decided to professionalize the lighthouse service, many women lighthouse keepers lost their jobs.
When I went back and read the letter books, it was very clear that these women had been deliberately driven off and driven out of their lights. The service was becoming professionalized. And of course, in that kind of place, there is no place for women.
In addition to the stories of the women of the Great Lakes, Brem says there are other untapped areas of Great Lakes history. She believes the focus on the shipping industry of the late 19th and 20th century has confined our knowledge of the lakes to about the past 100 years. So Brem is starting work on two new books, both about American Indians on the Great Lakes. They should be completed in about 2 years. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Wendy Nelson in Allendale, Michigan.